Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, is a chapter that we can say truly is miraculous. It is a miraculous chapter in God's Word. For here we have contained within the words of this chapter three wonderful miracles, three of Christ's great miracles set before us. We have the miracle of Legion. This man who was known as Legion, he met with Christ in a graveyard. And his life was transformed, his life was changed. Then we have the woman with the issue of blood. And again, as she comes to the Savior, she is a woman in great need. And yet as she meets Christ, again her life is completely transformed. It is completely changed. Then we have Jairus' daughter, a young person. And again, as Christ comes into her life isn't changed, but she actually receives life. She receives new life, and she is brought to life again because she was dead. And so here we have three wonderful miracles. In one, the Lord is dealing with a man. In another, he is dealing with a woman. And in another, he is dealing with a child. We can say in each of these miracles, the Lord is confronted by a different enemy. In one, he is confronted with the enemy of demons. In another, he is confronted with the enemy of disease. And in another, he is confronted with the enemy of death. Three great enemies. And we can say, as we think of these enemies that came and confronted Christ, and Christ confronted them, we could say in these miracles, these are the things that confront us. These are the things that come to oppose us as sinners. We think of the devil. He is our father by nature. He is our enemy. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our souls in hell. We can think of disease. We look around us today and we see sickness and we see disease. We see people go through the misery of sickness, and these things affect each one of us. And they will through life. Of course, the last great enemy, the enemy of death, is something that does affect us and will affect each one of us. But in every case, the Lord is triumphant and victorious here. It does not matter if it is the enemy of the devil. It does not matter if it is the enemy of disease or of death. All must bow to the power and glory of Christ. They must surrender to Him. And this is what we see here in these miracles. This evening, I want us to consider the second of these three wonderful miracles that are recorded in Mark chapter 5. The miracle concerning the woman with the issue of blood. Here we are presented with a woman. And she has got what we could call a most miserable disease. A most miserable disease. A disease that had greatly affected her. A disease that had left her life incomplete. Poverty. This dear lady, this dear woman who was suffering from this disease, she experienced poverty in every form. We can say here she suffered physical poverty. The loss of blood that she was happening was leaving her body physically weak. It was draining her physical body, and so she was weak and feeble because of this continual loss of blood. So therefore, she was physically poor and weak. She also was religiously in poverty. Because of her condition, she would not be able to go to the temple. She was prevented from going to the temple to worship. Because of the Levitical laws, it prohibited her from going to the temple and worshiping God. She was considered unclean. And so we can say, as well as being physically poor, she was also religiously poor, because she couldn't come to the temple. She couldn't worship God. And this had been going on for years. We can also say she was socially poor. She was in social poverty because she was unclean. She would have been considered an outcast. Anyone touching this lady, anyone coming into contact with her, would also be considered to be unclean because of her condition. In one sense, she would have been considered someone like a leper, unclean. Although that contagious, yet this, the connotations of her sickness would have caused others to despise her and to run away from her. So she suffered social poverty. As we see in this chapter, we can say she also suffered financial poverty. Verse 26 says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. This dear lady, in every effort to try and find a cure, had spent all that she had. And so she's in financial poverty as well. And so here we are presented with a woman in complete poverty. A woman in a most miserable and a most sad condition. But despite her poverty and despite her condition, this woman still had one thing. And it was the one all-important thing. We read about it in verse 34 here in this chapter. It says, and this is Christ speaking to her. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman, though she was poor, she possessed faith. Faith. And it was her faith that led her to do a most remarkable thing. Because in faith she came and she laid hold upon Christ. By faith she came through the crowd that day and she touched the hem of Christ's garment. And we've just been singing in that last hymn. And straightway she was made whole. She touched the Savior. She had faith. And this is what I want us to examine tonight. This woman who touched Christ. The woman who came with the touch of faith. What a picture she is of man in sin. What a picture she is of each one of us. As sinners, we are poor. We are needy. We are helpless and we are lost and we are hopeless. And yet, the example of this woman teaches us that if we in all of our need come to Christ, lay hold upon Christ tonight, then straightway, we will be made whole. We will experience God's salvation in the most miraculous way. As we think of this woman here who came with a touch of faith, there's a number of things that I want us to notice. The first thing I want us to see here is the commencement of her faith. The commencement of her faith. Verse 27 tells us, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. This woman's faith commenced when she heard of Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, it was once she heard of Jesus that she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. You're not told here what she heard of Jesus. Perhaps she had heard of how Christ had healed Legion. There was Legion running about and cutting himself, crying night and day, he was a real pest and everybody passed by on the other side when they seen Legion coming. And yet when he met Christ, he was delivered. Maybe she heard about Legion. Maybe she heard about Christ stilling the storm at sea. Here was one and he had power over the forces of nature. And as she thought about Christ, perhaps she said, well, you know, this is the one that can solve my problem. I've tried all the physicians, they're hopeless. But Christ, surely this one who had power to still the storm at sea, he surely could deliver me. Perhaps she heard of the man with the leprosy and how Christ had healed him. Or the man who was sick of the palsy, how he was healed. These people too that had physical ailments. Maybe it was this that she heard. We don't know what she heard. This we do know. Her faith commenced when she heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. When she heard of the Savior. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. This is how faith cometh. It is through the proclamation of God's truth. It is through the presentation of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of men. That's how faith commences. And that is why we have a gospel service this evening. That is why we preach the gospel. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is impossible to please God except by faith. Yet faith is that which comes through the truth of the gospel. Comes through hearing of Jesus Christ. You see, faith is not built upon the unsure foundation of feelings or experience, or hope, or chance. But it is built upon the unchangeable and unmovable foundation of God's word. That's what true saving faith must be built upon. We live in an age when people are looking for the sensational, looking for some emotional experience, looking for something that is going to impress them and bowl them over. Yet saving faith that delivers us is based upon this book. Based upon what God's word says. You see, experiences differ. Feelings are fickle. And a man's soul is far too precious to place into the hands of hope or chance. But God's word, God's truth is a sure foundation. It is the solid rock that we can base our eternal welfare upon. We can rest upon for time and for eternity. And a man believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. What is he doing? He is placing his trust and faith upon what God's word says. He is resting upon the authority of God's word. And that is what real faith, saving faith does. You see, true faith is conceived and born and lives on the word of God. That's what true saving faith is. It is conceived, it is born, and it lives on the word of God. That's why it's so important to come and sit under the preaching of the gospel. That is why it is so important to read God's word if we're going to be strengthened in our faith. Because faith is built upon what God says, upon the truth of his word. In Hebrews 11, it is the great chapter of faith in God's word. The hall of faith, we could say. But if we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, it bears testimony to how saving faith is based upon what God has said. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 4, we could pick out many verses here. But in verse 4, it talks about Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Here we have Abel. And he offered a more acceptable sacrifice, more excellent sacrifice than Cain, because he offered the sacrifice that God wanted. He based his sacrifice, he based his worship upon what God had said. Then we read about Noah on down here in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Here we read of Noah, what did he do? He was warned of God. God spoke to him. God spoke to Noah. So therefore, Noah, in accordance to God's word, he built an ark. He didn't just take a chance that it might rain. Noah didn't have this gut feeling that, oh, somehow we need to build an ark here for the salvation of our house. No, he acted in accordance to what God had said. He was resting upon the authority of God's word. God warned him. God spoke to him. So therefore he built the ark. And he was saved through faith. Think also of Abraham here in verse 8. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Again, notice what Abraham did here. He was called and he obeyed. That is, God spoke to him. Abraham is the man who is known as a man of faith in the Bible. But his faith was based upon what God had said. God called him and he obeyed God. You see, this is where faith must be based. This is where faith commences, in what God says. When this woman came to Jesus, was she coming hoping that he might be able to do something to help her? No, she was coming believing. Because she had heard of Jesus. She had heard of his power and his miraculous works. And when she heard of Jesus, she was filled with faith. She heard the word of God. And she came and she touched the hem of his garment. This is where faith commences. This is what our faith must be based upon. What God's word says. Sinner tonight, in God's house out of Christ, you must come, if you're to be saved, and place your faith on the impregnable rock of God's word. Faith in anything else is just foolishness. And it's folly. Consider what the Bible says of Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is but one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. That is what God's word says. Therefore you must respond. And rest upon that. Rest upon that. So we see this woman, the commencement of her faith. Then notice not only the commencement of her faith, but think here of the coming in her faith. The coming in her faith. Verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, behind and touched his garment. This woman not only believed that the Lord Jesus could heal her from her disease, but she acted upon that belief. She acted upon that belief. And this is exactly what saving faith does. It's not just simply accepting some truth, but it's acting upon that truth. And you know, this is where so many people fall down. This is what so many people fail to understand. There is a difference between knowledge and faith. There's a difference between knowledge and faith. Many people today have knowledge. They know many things. But faith responds to knowledge. Faith is not passive. It is active. This woman did not simply believe that the Lord Jesus Christ could cure her. She could have thought that. And yet sat at home. She could have thought many things about Jesus Christ. She could have heard about him and did nothing. But you see, she had faith. She had faith. And therefore, she responds to the message she heard. And she came to Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11, we have been looking there in that chapter of faith. But in Hebrews 11, these people that are set before us as people of faith, what we see in this chapter is what these people do. What they do. You see, faith does something. It does something. Abel, he was a man of faith, therefore he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Noah was a man of faith, so therefore he built the ark. Abraham was a man of faith, therefore he went out not knowing where he would go. He obeyed, he did something. Faith moves us. Faith brings us forth to react to what God has said. And this is what saving faith does. There are many people, and they will profess to believe a lot of what the Bible says. They believe there is one God. They believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth. In this time of the year, they perhaps will attend the church. Because this is the time of the year we remember Christ's birth. And there will be many, many people doing that. They might even accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross. They might even accept that he suffered and that he bled and he died and he was put to death though he was innocent. And they know all of these details. They know all of this information. And they're so aware of it. In fact, they can almost preach the gospel. And yet they're not saved. Yet they're still in their sin. Why? Well, it's because they haven't got faith. They have not acted upon that truth. And they're not resting upon what God has said for their eternal welfare. Because it's the absence of faith. Faith moves us. Faith leads us to lay all upon Christ and to rest upon him for salvation. That's what faith does. It is an active thing. Talk to people. You ask them, are you saved? How often they will say no. And then when you start to explain to them their need of salvation and say to them, do you know you need to be saved? They will answer yes. What are they saying? They're saying, we accept all that you say is the truth. Nonetheless, we're not going to rest upon it. What utter foolishness. What utter folly. Imagine this dear lady here in this story. Imagine she did that. She heard of Jesus Christ. And again, we do not know what she heard, but what she did here, we know this, must have been enough to bring her out to go and seek Christ. But imagine she heard of Christ. And yet she sat at home. She sat at home with her disease. She sat at home in her poverty. She sat at home in her weakness. She heard of one who could deliver, one who could save, and she never did anything. You would say, what a foolish woman. You would have very little sympathy for her. But how many are doing exactly that tonight? How many that sit in free Presbyterian churches? In churches that preach the gospel. And they know the truth. And yet they're still in their sin. I can think of one man. And this man was so concerned about others that he invited them to God's house. And yet he himself had never embraced Christ in the gospel. It is all absolute folly and foolishness. Maybe I'm speaking to someone in this meeting tonight. This is your position. You've heard the gospel from a child, perhaps brought up in a Christian home, with Christian parents. And you look at your parents, you look at your family, and you can say, oh, they're believers. You can see grace in their lives. I think you're still in your sin, knowing the truth. My friend, that's a very, very dangerous position to be in. A very, very dangerous position to be in. A number of years ago, I was taking a mission. And there's a neighbor of ours came to the mission. He was a young man. And he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He was married with one young child, and his wife was expecting another. It was a very, very sad case. But they weren't from a gospel family, we could say. And yet he came to this mission. And I remember speaking to him of his need of Christ. And I spoke to him about how he was a sinner. And how Christ had died for sinners. And Christ is willing to receive all that call upon him. And his answer was so sad. It was even sadder than his disease. For he said this, I know all that you're saying is true. I know all of that is true. But I want a cure. And he wouldn't come to Christ. He wouldn't come. Sadly, he died, and I do not know where he stood as he died. Just let me say this, better it would be for you to stand at the judgment bar of God as a heathen, never to have heard the glorious message of the gospel, not once, and to go from the presence of Christ, to go from the gospel witness, to stand before God. It is a most solemn thing. To know the truth. To have the knowledge of the truth. And to reject Christ. To fail to respond in faith. You see, this woman, the commencement of her faith, the coming of her faith. Notice also here the cure through faith. Verse 34 tells us, and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. This woman, enacting upon what she had heard, came and touched the garment of the Savior. And immediately her disease was cured, and she was made whole. Her faith was the channel through which her healing flowed. There was many on that day touching the Savior. There was many crowd around him. There was a great press. And when the Lord Jesus Christ asked, who touched me? The response of the disciples was shock. Because it says in verse 31, and his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And so there was many around the Savior that day. But only one stretched forth the hand of faith and touched the Savior. Only one. And that was this woman. The woman with faith. This woman's cure did not come by her faith, but it came through her faith. And there's an important difference. The virtue that made this woman whole was not her faith, but it was Christ. It was Christ who cured this woman. Her faith was but a channel, or a bridge, we could say, through which the virtue of the Savior flowed. Make no mistake about it. It was Christ that cured this woman. It was he that had the power to work this miraculous change in her life. It was his virtue that healed her. Christ transformed her life. Faith merely was the hand that touched. Christ, in his great omnipotent power, delivered her from this disease. So it is in salvation. It is not our faith that will merit us anything with God. It is not. People say that they have great faith. And there's many people today speak about being people of faith. And we see this in the news and we see this on religious programs. Oh, I'm a person of faith. But faith does not earn us salvation. In fact, it's the very opposite. The complete opposite. The man who comes to Christ in faith really is saying, I am weak and I am needy. I am helpless. I cannot save myself. So I'm reaching to Christ by faith. I'm laying hold upon the one who can save. Faith is a demonstration of our inability, of our weakness. Really is the most humbling thing. Think of this poor woman. She came humbly. She touched the hem of his garment. She was saved. See, when we stretch out the hand of faith and touch the Savior, in the spiritual sense, then we will know his power, his cleansing power. Cleansing our hearts from sin. Washing us in his precious blood. When we lay hold upon Christ by faith. This woman, her faith was not a bold, triumphant thing. We often think about faith in that way. Faith leads people to do great, bold, and triumphant things. And so it does. But this dear woman, her faith was not bold and triumphant. There wasn't others that stood around in awe. In fact, no one noticed. Perhaps was what we could call incomplete faith. Nevertheless, it was still faith. And when she touched Christ by faith, then her life was changed. There's life in Christ tonight for all that will come. For every sin-sick soul will touch the Savior by faith. There's life in him. There's healing. There's cleansing for all. Has there ever been that time in your life's experience where you have reached the hand of faith out and touched the Savior? Can you say there was that point in my life where I seen my need? I was like that poor woman in complete poverty in my sin. And I heard of Christ. And I reached out and I touched him. And I took him for my Savior. I'm not asking you tonight, are you a good person? I'm not asking tonight about your sin and your morality. I'm saying, have you ever touched the Savior? Have you ever by faith laid hold upon him and took him as your Savior? There may be many hindrances. There was for this dear lady. As we think about her condition, she was weak physically. Tells us here in verse 27, she came in the press, signifying there was a multitude, there was a great throng of people. And so it was difficult for this sickly woman to come to Christ. But she pressed through. She laid hold upon Christ, even as we sit in God's house tonight. Maybe you're feeling the press. The pressure of the crowd. Perhaps upon your very heart. There is friends, there is family. There is a reputation. There's others that will look upon you as someone who is odd or different because if you embrace Christ tonight. And there's those pressures and they weigh heavy upon you. I'll be warned tonight. Do you let the press of the crowd, the pressures of life and others hinder you from getting to Christ? Then you shall rue the press for all eternity. The caverns of the damned. This woman came by faith and she took hold of Christ. She was miraculously cured. And if you tonight come, lay hold upon Christ, then you shall receive eternal life and God's great salvation. The last thing I want us to notice about this woman is she is now a child of faith. She is now a child of faith. Verse 34 tells us again what the Lord Jesus said, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. The first word the Savior speaks to this woman of faith is daughter. Daughter. Denoting she was now a child of God. She was part of the family of faith. before she was cured, she was poverty stricken. They have noted it a number of times. But now she was a child of the king. She was a child of the king. Only after the physicians of this world had cost her all that she had. But when she came to the great physician, she received all that he had. And she was now an heir with God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Running after the things of this world, the cures of this world, just led to greater poverty. Led to greater misery. What a picture we have of man and his sin. You know, the devil has much to try and pacify the misery of sin. The devil has many things. To try and pacify the effects of sin in our lives. The pleasures of this world. And all of these things that are brought into our lives, trying to make our lives happy and joyful and take away the misery of sin. You know, if that's all we have in life, that's all we have, is the pleasure and entertainment of this world, then these very things will cost us everything. Cost us our souls. What a difference was made in this woman's life when she came to Christ by faith. Her life was transformed. What Christ did for this woman, he can do for you. You will come in simple faith, in childlike faith, resting wholly on what Christ has done. He's lived. He's died. He has purchased eternal life. Salvation is free to all who will lay hold upon Christ and touch him by faith. Will you come tonight? Will you come? If you will, you too can be a child of God. Of all Christian graces, none brings such glory to Christ as faith. The grace of hope, it brings an eager expectation of good things to come. The grace of love brings a warm and willing heart. But the grace of faith brings an empty hand and receives everything and can give nothing in return. One important thing that this dear lady had was faith. She had faith. That's what you need tonight. For by faith we begin. By faith we live. By faith we stand. We walk by faith and not by sight. By faith we overcome. By faith we have peace. By faith we enter into rest. My friend, is your faith in Christ? Is your faith in Christ? I would say tonight, if I was to go around this congregation and ask each one, would you like to be in heaven? Would you like one day to enter into God's heaven and there live with God for all eternity, be with Christ forever? Perhaps meet loved ones. Everyone would respond, of course I would like to be in heaven. I would want to be there. There's only one way to be, to get there. There's only one way that you can be ready to go there. That is through faith in Christ. By resting upon him. Everything else that you could be hoping in, everything else that you could be trusting in will fall apart on the judgment day. But Christ, oh what a standing is those who are resting upon Christ in faith. On that judgment day, on that day when all men shall be judged and brought before the great throne of God, those that have their faith in Christ shall be welcomed and shall be brought in to the eternal joy of the Lord. What is your faith in tonight? What is it in? I trust if it is not in Christ, tonight you will come and you will rest upon him and embrace him in the gospel. May God write his truth upon each one of our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.